This is Sunday, October 30th. We are doing Sealed Book Moses, chapter 17, verses 26 and 27. These are verses that I just went through, sort of like when you open the book and you're not sure what everything that you're looking for. And I just felt directed to these verses to help me and share with you the understanding of where the Lord wants us to go to be more spiritually ready for his return, to help understand more of what Brother Mauricio is asking us to think about and move towards the spiritual setting in Brazil for all of us to be together. So in chapter 17, which in the yellow book is on, let's see,
130.
Yes, 130. So the first one is verse 4. That's not there. We could back up to verse 4. Verse 4 is so this is verse 4 has to do with, again, chapter 17, verse 4. It has to do with the closeness that we can be to God. What are the circumstances? And this is when Moses was still learning more of what he was doing. This is the story of Moses before the Council of the Heavens. So Moses is learning at this point. These are things that the Lord has revealed to him. Who would like to read verse 4?
I can, Jeannie. That's Moses chapter 17, verse 4.
Yes.
Okay. The whole camp was filled with smoke, for the Lord had come down in a great chariot of fire. There was a cloud around the chariot, and rays of light pierced the fog in the sight of all Israel's nation. For how much it was possible to have been seen through the fog, God sitting on his throne under a polished layer of fine amber, which stretched upon itself. But behold, when the children of Israel came so close, God commanded me to go back to them and warn them not to come so close to something that they cannot touch. Even the same priests for the people had not yet consecrated all things in a united order, just as the people of Enoch did in former times.
Okay. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I can say that when I was preparing some information on tithing for the church, I felt this is one of the verses that I felt directed to about the effect of consecrating in the United Order. We can see that there's something much more than what perhaps I certainly what I understand at the moment. What happens when we make this consecration of all things? There's a transformation that happens. I think we begin to become one before the Lord. So anyway, this verse was in the sealed book, I think, for a very important reason.
Thank you. Well, that's exactly the sentence that jumped out at me. The people had not yet, they had not yet done something. And that's where we are right now. We're working towards accomplishing these things. And we have to do them or we're not going to be in the right place. So the transformation, the movement, the decision to be closer to the Lord, all of that, I think, goes together. So then if we go over to page 130 and we pick up with verses 26 and 27.
I can read. Do you want just one verse or both?
Let's do one.
Okay. Behold, this is all that God commanded me to extract from the record of Moses, for the purpose of compiling on the plates I am transcribing, in which I am making a complete account of the things required for God to be sealed in two stages. These words of Moses, which will be revealed in the first stage, in preparation for a deeper knowledge that unfolds with the opening of the other books that compose this set behind the first seals, which should be opened in preparation of a people for the coming of Christ and his temple, with the purpose of this people being prepared for when he comes upon Zion in the last days. So I like this because it lets us know that more is coming. Even more is coming before Christ opens the final seals. Mm-hmm. Deeper knowledge.
Well, to me, it's a sign of the times. It's an amazing sign to God's people that the I guess the where we are in the timeline of human history. Because we know that the coming forth of the sealed book itself is a sign that we are, the Lord is moving and moving quickly to accomplish his purposes. That's all.
I think it pretty much really completely says that, just like what Brother Bob said, it's coming, the sign of the times. And this is specifically saying it's going to be sealed in two stages. And the deeper knowledge that is going to unfold with the opening of the other books. I mean, it's just amazing. And then it says the purpose of this is that the people are being prepared for when he comes upon Zion in the last days. We have to be listening to Brother Mauricio and moving towards what the sealed book is educating us, or it's not going to happen. And then where are we going to be? Because the whole point is to be on the Lord's side when things come to a head. And it's not like in the past where, okay, we just think, you know, we have years ahead of us. We can study the scriptures when you feel like it. It's not like that. It's happening right now to us. And we need everything. I mean, the Lord knew we were going to need everything. So we need to come closer to him and ask that the veil be thinned out for us, that we can learn more and be receptive to it. That was what I came up with, this verse. Darla, could you read 27?
Yes. And unlike the days of Moses, when he came down upon the top of the Mount Sinai, whose people were not worthy to touch the mountain where the Lord stood by his servant Moses, his son Jesus Christ, we will find at last a people who observe his commandments, strictly clean from filthiness of the world of Satan and pure heart, having all things in common, as in the days of Enoch, when they lived in a united order. Amen.
Thoughts on that?
Well, I find it curious, the placement of the amen.
Yeah.
Of course, there's course, there is a long dash there, which mm-hmm. there's information that's not included here, whether the amen goes at the conclusion, well, it's at the conclusion of what's missing, but nevertheless, if I understand, remember the meaning of amen, it could be interpreted as something like, and it was so, or so be it. And so again, it's sort of an affirmation that this will happen.
Right. Is there anywhere else in the book that we have an amen?
Yes, there's one right at the end of the chapter, and I'm sure there's more. I was going to say I'm sure there are more, but at that point I noticed there's one at the top of page 131 before the 12 apostles begins.
Okay.
I can do a quick search and I'll let you know how many I find.
That's significant, I think. And this first one does follow the straight line there. So I think there's something there really important. The difference between how the Lord accepted and loved the Israelites, even though they were not righteous in the way that he is seeking us to be. But he still took care of them and taught them. And then they're saying that unlike the days of Moses. So what is our time frame going to reflect? That's a question that I was thinking. You know, we get to the point where we are a people who observe the commandments and are clean from the filthiness of the world and have all things in common. I just think of the Lord saying, come on, you guys, you can do this. We can get where we need to be.
Well, there's five amen periods, which the search I'm using, if I just put in amen without the period, it picks up other parts of other words, but there's at least five that are separate amens in a separate sentence.
Nice. And two of them are in this verse, chapter. Wow. Any other thoughts? Okay, are we ready to go to sealed book, Acts of the Three Nephites, chapter 7? And we're looking at verses 6 and 7. Verse 5 is excellent too. But I just picked out verses 6 and 7. So who can read? Let's see. I can read verse 6. We can start with that one. Maybe let's go back and let's include verse 5. I'll read 5 and 6. Okay. In these days, there will be a transformation of the peoples among whom there will be a pure tongue. For each man and woman will invoke the name of the Lord in their hearts, so that the love is the feeling shared by both parties, whether it be between two persons or two groups, or even between different cities. For wherever your people are gathered, there will be the same feelings among brothers. And verse 6, this project coming from God requires first that the people possess the citizenship of Zion in their hearts, and this will be the means by which the people of God will show themselves apt and worthy to live in Zion, having a broken heart and a contrite spirit before the Lord. So when Brother Mauricio was first talking to us about the different branches out there, the Missouri branches and the LDS branch from Utah, and he asked us to start to think of all of us as being one group. You know, at first I thought, well, that's going to be really hard. We have to learn everything that they know. And then there's that man part of us going, are we going to believe that? What are we going to do? And now I don't even think about that. Now I just, it's like all of us are together. We are joined together through our love of this book of what Heavenly Father is teaching us and what Mauricio is encouraging us to learn and bring into our hearts ourselves. So that kind of goes back to me, invoke the name of the Lord in their hearts in verse 5 and in verse 6. That we show a citizenship of Zion in our hearts. That, so I don't know, maybe I have grown in that, because I don't see a separation of us anymore. And I think you guys down in Brazil and those who are coming down from the States, coming to Brazil and joining, and the love that is shown to us from Brazil and how they take care of Melva and Bob, I just see us all growing closer together, even though geographically we are not. I don't know if other people have that feeling. What does somebody else think?
Amen to that.
Yes, and I agree. We started out in our different groups, and yet now I know we feel one, even although some of you I don't know and haven't met. We are sisters and brothers in one faith. It's part of the marvelous work and a wonder, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I worry about the people that we share the book with, that we bring in now, because I feel like we have a closeness and we've learned so much. And then people just starting in, you know, they're not going to understand all of that. And they're going to really be new to the gospel that we have. And it's going to be exciting to share it with them and see them grow and come within that spiritual citizenship of Zion, and that we become stronger. Who can read verse 7?
I can.
Okay.
Yes, unless the people united in your feelings begin to build the principles governing Zion in your own hearts, they can never erect a physical structured Zion on earth. This will be impossible unless engraved laws are governing this heavenly home in yourself. After building yourselves with the Spirit, that is, with the pure sentiments that rule Zion, then each of the men and women of God should extend the same principles into his home and so forth through the society of the Church of Christ in general, until all the citizens of Zion are living harmoniously and according to the high standards of the kingdom of God on earth, just as it is done in the heavens, so that he may come.
So, like, first we need to understand it, and then we have to live it, which is the hard part, right? But that's going to help us help the kingdom come.
Right.
Yeah, in this verse here, there's a implied reference to what's written in the book of Haggai, where Haggai was, I think he had a series of messages, but one of them was that the people were trying to build the temple and they weren't ready in their hearts. And so here we're back again to what was written by the prophets of old, and it's got to be done differently this time.
Mm-hmm. It specifically says, if you don't have the feelings in your heart, you can never erect a physically structured Zion on earth. And that, I think, is why Mauricio has pushed us to think about that, to do the spiritual building of Zion before we try to tackle a physically building. I think that's also what a lot of people don't understand. I know in Utah, they just think we're just going to pop up one day and poof, start moving to Missouri and build the temple. And they never think about what it's going to take to do that. What are the feelings of the people? They're just really lost in a way. And they're going to follow whoever stands up there and says they're the LDS prophet and do what they say. And not work on themselves to create these inner feelings and love for Jesus individually. And it's sad to watch. Utah is very messed up right now. And then it goes on to say that you have to build within yourselves with the spirit that are the pure sediments. And again, that's what Mauricio has talked to us about. And all of that has to be in place before the Lord can bring the kingdom to earth. We're not telling the Lord, this is the way the kingdom's going to be. Now you're ready. You come on down. That's working from the bottom up. Lord doesn't work that way. He wants us to be in the right position before he can come down. And I think that that's really important to understand.
I think that in Independence, Missouri, we are just the same, and I have seen it, I guess I'd say, deteriorate over time, that back to your first statement about expecting things to just suddenly happen and we'll be building the temple, it's the same in Missouri. And over a period of time, I have seen, like I say, that attitude, I guess I'd call it, belief, deteriorate. So that there was a time when we thought we had a bit of work to do, but anymore, I don't think, from what I see of people and comments, there isn't that belief anymore, and that it's just going to happen. And yet at the same time, people will say, oh, we're not ready for the sealed book, we're not following the commandments yet. There's opposite thoughts, and they just are not recognizing that we need this scripture to help us prepare so that we can be ready for the final part of the sealed book, the sealed portion. But the Lord is in charge, and there will be a people that will accomplish this, and we just hope and pray that we are part of that group. To help get it accomplished and to prepare the next generation for the work that they also will need to do.
Thank you for sharing that, Melva, about Missouri and all. Yes, yes. Yeah, I don't have a whole lot to say. They are missing so much by rejecting this book. And my friends down here are very, very busy in the church, busy, and they're wonderful people. But they're not hearing what this book is teaching, and that's sad. So I try every now and then to throw things out there, and they listen, But I don't know if I've accomplished anything. But,
you know, Anna, just if I can comment further, what we're noticing in the sealed book that it expounds on a biblical principle that Jesus left a little bit, or one of the prophets left something in their writings that have come down to us that the sealed book elaborates on. And this verse we're talking about here in Luke chapter 17, Jesus says the kingdom is within you. And so you won't find it looking around, it's within you. And so that's the basis of what he's teaching us here about the having the right feelings in our heart. Because once those feelings are in our heart, then the kingdom cannot be destroyed like a physical kingdom. It doesn't matter if they burn the church down. The kingdom is within you. It might suffer violence, but it will not be defeated.
Right. Right. What was that again? The verse, Luke chapter what?
Luke 17:21 is one reference. It's at the end of a little dialogue that people, Jesus was saying, you look for the kingdom here and there, and or where is the kingdom? And well, you just have to look within you. That's where it is.
Yeah, and it's like the people who don't read the book are still trying to find that kingdom. They still don't. They don't have the connection. That's what I'm seeing. They don't have the connection between what we're learning from the book about changing our hearts with a contrite spirit, you know, broken heart. We're learning that and we're trying to practice it, but they don't have an understanding at all of it. They go to church and they go home, and home and church are entirely different, and they don't pull it together. And I see that so much up there. And down here in El Paso, the little section that I'm living in, the church is strong and the people work hard. But my friend said something to me about the prophet. She's like, if you're telling me that there is a prophet in Brazil and you want me to pray and ask if that's true, I can't do that because I've already prayed and asked if the prophet in Utah is true. And I was told yes. So how can I pray and ask if somebody else is true? It just doesn't make sense to me. And I really didn't have an answer for her, but they strongly believe to follow this prophet that is in Utah, and it's difficult.
Yeah, I don't think this is an answer, Sister Jeannie, but there, of course, some of the prophets in the Bible were contemporaries, and we know that sometimes the Bible or the scriptures say there were many prophets in the land, but I don't think that will lead in the right direction, because Mauricio was placed at the head, had the keys of the kingdom, is right. What, and I think if your friend is saying that, is it Brother Nelson?
Yes.
That she would probably view him as having the keys of the kingdom. So, yeah, I understand what she's saying.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand too. You know, that's a belief system, and when you're tied up into it, it would be difficult. It would be difficult for me if somebody came and said, oh, Mauricio's not right. You know, no, I've prayed and I know that that's it. But I also kind of got the knowledge, the revelation that at the same time while I was praying about Mauricio, that everything in Utah was not correct. So I don't know. I mean, I was given that information also. So, but I couldn't explain that to her. So, Anyway, the last part of the lesson, I typed out this verse, and this is in Ether 12, verse 27. Does Talia want to read?
Need it. Sure, Ether.
Thanks.
Okay. And if men come unto me, I will show unto them their weakness. I give unto men weakness that they may be humble, and my grace is sufficient for all men that humble themselves for me. For if they humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then I will make weak things become stronger unto them.
Thank you.
Do you want her to read the next paragraph too? Oh no, that's sure. Okay.
Well, let's just work on this verse right now. Okay. So this was just one that I was directed to. And to me, it just means that even though we have our own weaknesses, the Lord recognizes that, and he has given us what we are going to need to make it through this. As long as we're humble, as long as we're asking for the help, as long as we're seeking the Lord to be with us, then we will become stronger. We will not lose, and we will have what we need to stand before what is going to come, what Satan will be trying to do to mankind. We'll be okay. But we have to do what the Lord is telling us to do. We can't not do it, is what I felt that this was telling us. Yeah, I don't know. Any other thoughts?
The Lord leaves us without excuse.
Yes. It's like he's standing up there saying, I gave you everything. All men that humble themselves before me. So those that are willing to be humble, to take the eye out of pride and listen and open their hearts and open their ears. Yeah, that's what we need. Does Talia want to read the last paragraph then?
Sure. Moving forward is going to be a transition, but the Lord said we can do this. I think we just have to each pick a point and make a commitment to move forward towards a spiritual Zion, the purpose which is to provide a means for our Lord or a Lord to return.
Thank you, Talia.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you guys think? I hope that this lesson helped some people to put some things in perspective as to what Brother Mauricio is asking us spiritually to do, to build a spiritual Zion, to look towards a spiritual Kirkland in Brazil. And I'm thankful that you guys hung in there going through all of these verses. That is the end of my lesson. Does anybody have anything they want to say? And I'll turn the recording off.
Can I comment a little bit? That to me, it's interesting, the temple and the purpose of the temple that we're talking about. In one way, the temple is not for the people of the church. The temple is the house of the Lord. It's for Jesus Christ. It's like, at least at the beginning, where the temple The temple will be a sanctuary for Jesus in a sinful world, that it'll be a safe place for him to come to be with the people, but he will be in the temple. And the people, if the people have the kingdom in their hearts, then they're okay outside of the temple. But obviously there's more to the temple than that, but the emphasis in the, at least in building the temple, is to build the house of the Lord, a place for Jesus to come to be among his people. Just a thought.
I think that's good. I hadn't really thought about that, but that also kind of goes back to the tradition of what people in Missouri and our people in the mountain area, you know, we're going to go build the temple, and yeah, we're going to be in the temple. That's kind of what we were always taught. So thank you for pointing that out, Brother Bob.
Hello, Jeannie. I was wondering, I think we just have to each pick a point. What do you mean by that? What did you have in mind?
Wherever you are geographically, wherever you are spiritually, just start from there and make, you know, just say, this is the point. I'm going to go forward and make a commitment to yourself to move towards the goal that the sealed book has put out for us. It's a transition, it's a progress, it's a road we're walking. It's not A and instantly B. It's we have a journey to make, in other words, and accept that as the journey. So that's what I'm trying to say. It's a journey that we have to be on. We can't just wake up one day and be at the end of the journey. We have to actually go through it. So that's what I mean.
Yes, thanks for pointing that out.
And I think in starting that journey, it's getting real with asking the Lord what our standing is with him, and for him to show us our weaknesses, because the kingdom of God is within us. And if we understood that, we would know our standing with him and how to move forward and how to be an example and what to say to be one with our families and to create Zion, not just in our hearts, but then, as it says, to go out and share it with others, to fill our home with it and then fill our communities and fill the earth. But we have to understand how God moves within us to be able to move forward.
Yes.
Yes, and all these things that you're mentioning, like your house, is very important that you can feel the spirit, if it is possible. You know, if you have a small house, maybe start with a small corner that you can, you know, dedicate to study or, yeah.
But maybe also the weakness, that we may be humble, that we acknowledge God in everything.
Yes.
And this weakness is a form of love, that we realize the moment we realize something which is true, at the moment we realize that we are maybe going against God's will, that then will come the responsibility of making the repentance. And that's actually a good thing, that you're being more aware of the whole thing, the ups and the downs, and acknowledging him in all things. And that the inward stuff, the invisible stuff, is even the most important, as Brother Bob pointed out in Luke, the kingdom is within you. Thanks for that great quote. Yeah. That we can combine this knowledge become one first, before you give advice to another soul.
Yeah, and also I read this week, you sin more than what comes out of your mouth than what you put in it. I'm not sure what. Maybe.
It also has to do with the inside.
Matthew 17, I'm not sure. Or Mark 17. Anyway. Yes.
Well, Thank you. Sorry that we were late. We have an hour skip here. We forgot.
Oh, okay. I'm going to change this and stop the recording. I got it started. Aha.